Welcome to fourthstream.com. Last time we talked about some specifics of the spiritual battle, and today we're going to talk about why it's so worth it to practice and end up victorious in the battle, and we'll be rewarded.
When we talked a little bit last time about the verse in 1 John 5 that talks about this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And so when you think about it in terms of, you know, overcoming the world and the fact that our faith expanding and our faith growing has everything to do with what it looks like in the heavenly kingdom. And that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about crowns. As far as I can tell, there are about five crowns that are in the scriptures. And, you know, you can start anywhere you want, Bernadette. They're all pretty cool.
Well, I think it's interesting. The crowns come as a reward for our character, our perseverance in different aspects of our lives. It's our obedience day after day and just the long haul. And I find for me, I'm kind of a dud Christian in this area. I tend to want rewards here. I don't really yet in my life look forward to the crowns of heaven.
It's hard to imagine.
Yeah. And abstract. I discover when I really think about it that I believe it in theory, but kind of not in reality. So that's, I'm having to grow there. So I guess a question I have is, will we receive actual crowns? Because in Revelation 4:10, it says the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." So in other words, does God reward us with crowns kind of so that we have something to give God?
Yeah,
to give the Father
to give
for
back.
Glory. Yeah. Well, and it just reminds me that I have nothing that I haven't been given. Everything I have, I've been given it.
Well, what we experience here, and somebody was talking about a book the other day, All Things New, one of our friends, you know, it's not that the old earth is going to pass away. It's going to be made new. Everything's going to be made new. So
no dead linden trees.
Yes. And that applies. Now we're talking front yard, but that applies to anything that relates to this life and the life to come. And it applies to these crowns because they do have a purpose in the sense that we find our fulfillment in them. But yes, they're laid down before God's feet, and they're transformed into things beyond our wildest dreams.
And you often talk about the crown, our crown being entwined with the crown, the big crown, God's crown, Jesus' crown.
I think if I understand my theology right, everything that I do that is good in this life is God's good. It's not my good. It's because God has opened my eyes and he's worked through me. So consequently, you know, they're really his crowns anyway.
Yeah. So in 2 Thessalonians 2:19, it says, "You can't imagine how much we miss you." And this is Paul. And it's basically about Paul being stymied by Satan, and not just in theory again, but in reality, and the crown of joy. But Satan stymied us each time. We tried over and over to get back, but Satan stymied us each time. Who do you think we're going to be proud of when our Master Jesus appears if it's not you? You're our pride and joy.
Well, and that's, he's describing his take on the fight. And so he's been in the fight, and, you know, he's been fighting with the evil one who's been trying to hold him back. And that is the crown of joy, because what was Paul trying to do? He was trying to go to one more place, one more soul, one more heart, trying to make an impact on the people that were in his world.
Yeah, and he's not specific about how he was stopped or thwarted or stymied, but, you know, it happens in our thoughts and our beliefs and in our actions. So when you take notice, you know, you see Satan's lies everywhere.
Yeah.
And you have to persevere through those for the crown of joy.
So the unspeakable crown of joy, which I love that word, unspeakable, because it's just hard to describe and hard to imagine. What's the second crown?
Crown of forever life. Interesting. Be ready and don't fear, and to practice. I think the greater teaching for me on this is that when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. So for me, to pray for the persecuted and giving to their relief is what I can do to hang in there for them.
Yeah, and the crown of life is a gift to everybody who has been faithful. Faithful until death is what it says in that particular verse. And so the crown of forever life, and that's the cool thing. It's It's not just a crown that will be given and there's going to be a big ceremony. It's the crown of forever life.
Yeah.
Hello.
Revelation 2:10 says, "Fear nothing in the things you're about to suffer, but stay on guard. Fear nothing. The devil is about to throw you in jail for a time of testing, 10 days. It won't last forever. Don't quit, even if it costs you your life. Stay there believing. I have a life crown sized and ready for you."
Cool. This is all in the context, too, of the verse in 2 Peter. We have the prophetic word. "It's made more sure, to which we would do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in our hearts." I mean, what a beautiful picture of the now and the future at our crowning as kings and queens of Narnia.
And then the deep love crown, the appeal for steadfastness and unity, one of the toughest and yet major element of the fierce fight. In Philippians 4:1, it says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends."
And, you know, we don't do what we do just for us. We do it for others, which is, again, why the apostles were such a beautiful picture of hearing what Christ had to say, and then they applied it, and they gave themselves 100% to deep love for the people around them. Pretty cool.
Well, it's just a reminder, if there's a crown for this, it must not be something that comes naturally. Unity is a lot of work. You have to do the hard work of loving each other.
Here's one of my favorites. I call it the can't wait crown. 2 Timothy 4, "In the future, there is set apart for me the crown of righteousness, the can't wait crown." And I kind of did a word study on it. And, you know, that's the picture that was there. "Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And so we look back at Jesus coming, and we look forward to his second coming, and we love it.
I like that. It says, it feels to me like this one is like his applause for hanging in there with our partners. Like he's just applauding our, "You just did it. That's awesome."
Well, and it's that feeling of it's set aside for us. And so there's the anticipation.
Right.
And it's not something we're just going to experience individually. We're going to experience as a group that has been called out from all of human history to receive this great unfading crown.
And the last one?
Well, this is unique for me as I think about it, because it's in the context of being a shepherd, which I've been for a long time with regard to being an elder and a pastor. And in 1 Peter 5, it says, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading." And it's interesting. It's called the unfading crown of glory.
I want to read the whole thing. It's 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5. "I have a special concern for you church leaders. I know what it's like to be a leader, in on Christ's suffering as well as the coming glory. Here's my concern, that you care for God's flock with all the diligence of a shepherd, not because you have to, but because you want to please God, and not calculating what you can get out of it, but acting spontaneously, not bossily telling others what to do, but tenderly showing them the way. And when God, who is the best shepherd of all, comes out in the open with his rule, he'll see that you've done it right and commend you lavishly. And you who are the younger must follow your leaders, but all of you, leaders and followers alike, are to be down to earth with each other. For God has had it with the proud, but takes delight in just plain people."
Well, people who shepherd, and it doesn't necessarily relate to a position that you hold, it's because you provide shelter for other people. And we've learned so much about this in our lives, and it's so tied into the crown of glory because that's who God is. You know, God is a shepherd. He's a shelterer. I mean, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge, to take refuge. Pretty cool. It's worth taking the time to think about these crowns, the shelter crown, the can't wait crown, the deep love crown, the forever life crown, and then the unspeakable joy crown, because these are all prepared for you. And what's neat about that is that we don't just do what we do. We don't fight the good fight of faith because of what we can get in this world. It's because what we're going to share in the world that is to come. And that, my friend,
yeah, that's cool,
is a beautiful thing.